You're going to need a Bible, so please would you pick one up if you were given one when you came in. And children, you're going to need one as well, so if you haven't got one, wave a paw and someone might bring one to you. And you need to turn, please, to Daniel chapter 7, which is found on page 892. Page 892, Daniel chapter 7, and we're going to think about the whole chapter. I'm going to explain a bit about some of it first. We're going to think about some of it first. Then Leon, I think, is going to come and do the reading for us in a bit. And then we'll think about the middle bit, actually, after that. But first, we need to ask for God's help as we come to look at his word. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that in it we read wonderful truths that should shape our lives. Father, we pray now, as we look at it, that you would speak to us and that you would change us. Encourage us, inspire us, and help us to go out ready to live for Christ this week. Amen. Okay, so keep that passage open in front of you. Now, I wonder, yes, I forgot to pick up the that. Thank you very much. There are three games here, three toys, three games, and I want you to see if you can spot what they've got in common. Now, we've got this one, littler ones, you may have this kind of thing, and older ones, you may remember this kind of toy. So it's the kind of one where you know, you turn the thing and the thing comes out, and you push the button and the thing comes out, and then you do that, and then you bash them all back down. So you've got that kind of thing, and then you've also got whack-a-mole. Quite fun, you know, where the moles come out and you whack. They're not real moles. It's not, you know, animal cruelty or anything like that. It's a game, you know, where you do that. Or you've got Bat the Rat, you know, that kind of classic game where it comes down here. Okay, what have those three things got in common? Just shout it out for me. Hitting things that get bashed, that kind of thing. Absolutely. They all get bashed. Now, being a Christian can feel a little bit like, well, a bit like being one of these things, or being the rat, or being the mole. Because when you're a Christian, there are times where you stand out, where you have to stick your head up, and you have to say, look, I'm a Christian, I believe this. And maybe that's, if you're at school, there are times when all your friends are doing something and you know that that thing is wrong. And you know as a Christian you ought to say, you know what, I'm not going to join in with this, I'm not going to do this. And it's like at that point you stick your head up. And maybe at work, you're in a work culture where, you know what, there's just a little bit of a culture of not quite telling the truth. Yeah, you wouldn't call it lying, but it's just sort of not quite telling the truth. But as a Christian, you say, you know what, I really shouldn't go along with that. And therefore, you kind of stick your head up. Or maybe it's in your family where you've said, you know what, I'm a Christian and I follow Jesus, and that makes a difference. And again, that's sticking your head up. And at times, it can feel like you just get bashed for it. Because people don't like it. Maybe your friends at school don't like the fact you won't join in. Maybe the people at work don't like the fact you won't join in with their way of doing things, and it's showing them up. Maybe in your family it means you get flack for it. You know what? Things were similar for the people of Israel when the things that happened in the book of Daniel, when they happened. Because the people of Israel, they were in exile. In other words, they weren't at home anymore. They weren't in their homeland. They'd gone to a different land. Well, in fact, they'd been taken to a different land. The Babylonians had come along and taken Daniel and the sort of elite and taken them off to Babylon. And so they weren't home anymore. They were living in a different culture. They were surrounded by people who weren't Christians, who had different values, who did different things. And they would have stood out as being different. And the question was, were they going to give in? Are you tempted to give in? And just sort of say, well, I'll just go with the flow. I'll just do what everyone else does. Because the Israelites probably would have been tempted to do the same thing. And to think, well, you know what, we won't stick with God because frankly God looks a bit weak. And, well, you know what, I'll just go along with what everyone else does. And we can think, well, God looks a bit weak. The church looks a bit weak. We'll just go with what everyone else does. This dream in Daniel chapter 7, because in this whole chapter, Daniel has the most amazing dream. You may have had some weird dreams. They are nothing compared to Daniel's weird dreams. He must have eaten a lot of cheese before bedtime. But this dream is different from your dreams. This dream is one where God was teaching Daniel and the Israelites how not to give in. Why is it that they shouldn't give in? Why shouldn't you give in? There's a great reason in this chapter. And God wants us to know what this reason is. Now, the first part of the dream involves four beasts. Now, this is the bad news. There's bad news and good news, and the first part of the dream is the bad news. The bad news involves four beasts. Now, I want you to have a look in your Bibles and see if you can see what the four beasts are. So, the first one is in verse 4. Have a look at verse 4 and see if you can spot what the first beast is. Okay, strange beasts. Verse 4, see if you can see what it is. Okay, you spotted it. First beast. Go on then, Ollie.
It was a lion with wings.
A lion with wings of an...
Eagle.
Eagle. Yeah. Okay, so you've got the first beast, which is a lion. Okay, and now this isn't sort of nice, tame, nice-looking, sort of just friendly kind of lion. All of these beasts, they're frightening. Okay, they're all frightening. So don't be terrified. I'm not going to bring out a lion at this point. Great visual aid, though, that would be. But it might decimate the church. So we're not going to do that. But first one was a lion. Lion with wings of an eagle. In other words, it's got speed and it can sort of get around. So it's even more frightening. I mean, imagine a lion. Imagine going to the zoo and you see the lion in there. And you think, great, we're safe. We're this side of the wall. And then it sprouts wings and flies over. I mean, you know, that is just terrifying, isn't it? You've got a lion with wings. Frightening. Okay, the wings are dealt with. And then it stands on its feet. Now, don't worry about that. But nevertheless, the point about that beast is it's frightening. Second beast. What's the second beast? Have you spotted what it is yet? Second beast. Verse 5. Okay, Georgia, we'll come round to you.
It's a bear with ribs between its teeth.
A bear with ribs between its teeth. That's right. So, you got a bear. Bear with a rack of ribs. Between its teeth. In other words, it's just devouring something. It's just eaten something. Now, this is another frightening thing. So you kind of go, the lion, this is scary. The bear, this is even more scary. It's chewing on ribs. This is a horrible beast. Okay, you don't want to come across these animals, you know, in a dark alley or anything like that, do you? Next beast. What's the next beast? Verse 6. Sorry, I've already asked you, Holly. Others would go for Shannon. Yeah, would you tell us?
A leopard.
A leopard. That's right. So verse 6, you've got there that it's a leopard. One that looked like a leopard. On its back it had four wings like those of a bird. So it still flies. So it's still frightening, isn't it? It can get you wherever you are. This beast had four heads and was given authority to rule. So again, a frightening beast. You've got a leopard now. So you go, lion, terrifying. You've got bear, even more terrifying, and it's eating a rack of ribs. And you've now got a leopard, which is also frightening. Last beast isn't like anything, but what is it? Okay, let's go a bit further back. Come on, let's have a look. What's the fourth beast? We're looking at verse 7. I'm going to head towards the back, and by then someone's hand will be up. If not, then I'm coming back round. No, go on, someone from the back here. Yeah, do you know, Evie? Come on, do you know what it is? Or are you going to get shy? You've got all shy. How sweet. Lovely. Anyone go for it? Pat, thank you for rescuing us.
It was not described as any animal at all, but it had frightening teeth, which crushed and devoured its victims, trampled them underneath.
Yep.
And it had 10 horns.
Yes, okay, now strange. Thank you very much for that. Okay, so the fourth beast is just, I mean, it's not like anything else. It's not, you can't say it's like a this or like a that. It's just got frightening teeth, large iron teeth. Odd image, isn't it? But frightening, again. I mean, I haven't got a picture for that, because you can't have a picture for that one. I mean, it's just iron teeth, and it's devouring, and it's chomping everything. Now, imagine having a dream like this. So you've had the lion, you've had the bear, with the rack of ribs, and you've had the leopard, frightening, and now you've had jaws, you know, with big iron teeth. These are frightening beasts, and that's the whole point. They are terrifying beasts. Now, like I say, the people of Israel, they're in exile at the moment. They're out in a foreign land. What does this dream mean? What are these beasts? Now, the good thing is, in this chapter, you don't have to guess, because later on, an angel tells Daniel what the beasts mean. And so we can have a look and we can see. So verse 17 tells us what the beasts mean. Have a look at it. What are the four beasts? I won't get you to shout it out, but they are four kingdoms. They're four kingdoms. And the horns, what you find out later on in Daniel chapter 7, the horns are actually more kings that will come along afterwards, and then you get one horn that uproots three other horns, and, you know, it all gets a little bit in detail there. That's basically more and more kings that come along. But what's that saying about these nations that are going to come along? Are they going to be friendly nations? Are they going to be nice? Are they going to, you know, create just a nice, pleasant atmosphere? Is it all going to be sweetness? It's all right. Don't worry, Ollie. Thank you for putting your hand up. Is there not, are they? They're going to be terrifying. That's what Daniel's dream is saying. Now, that's not a very encouraging start to a dream, is it? Daniel is being told four nations are going to come along, and one after the other, they're just going to get worse and worse. They're going to be even more terrifying. They're going to devour. And furthermore, verse 21 tells us, as I watched this horn, so one of the horns on that last beast, was waging war against the saints and defeating them. So, here we've got this dream. It's saying there's going to be one nation, it's like a lion. Next nation, it's like a bear with a rack of ribs. Next nation, it's like a leopard coming along, devouring even more. Next nation, it's got iron teeth and it's just going to devour and devour and devour. Then horns come along, bit strange, not, you know, odd dream, but dreams are like that. And the last horn is going to wage war against the saints. In other words, God's people are going to get attacked. So, overall, this dream Daniel's having here so far, happy, sad, it's going down the sad route, isn't it? It's going down the frightening route. And actually, we need to realise, you may find it hard at the moment as a Christian, but we do need to be realistic about what the Bible says to say, actually, it could get harder. We're not Daniel. We've not got these beasts. We've not got these nations coming along. They did come along. And if you follow, actually, Daniel chapter 2, it's similar nations that came along, if you were here for that sermon. It's the same nations being described. We're not there. We don't have those nations about to attack us. But the Bible does say that the world hates Christians. The world hates God's people. They hated Jesus. It will hate us. And therefore, be prepared for the fact that it could get worse. Not necessarily, but it could for Christians. And for you, just be prepared for the fact, actually, it could get harder to be a Christian. At school, in your family, at work, maybe tough at the moment. Actually, it could get harder. Now, like I say, that sounds like, okay, this is a bit of a disastrous dream here. It's not very encouraging. There is something in the middle of this dream which is so good, so amazingly awesome, that it will encourage you to keep going no matter what, even if things do get harder. The thing in the middle of this dream is so wonderfully amazing that we will think about it in a few moments. Andy.
The reading today is from Daniel chapter 7, and it's from verse 19 to 14, and can be found on page 892 in the Church Bibles. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothes was white as snow, the hair on his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from behind him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were open. Then I continued to watch at the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body thrown and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority and were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming from the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, sovereign power. All nations and people of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Leon, for reading that for us. Well, as we said before, it can be tempting to give in as a Christian. And the Israelites maybe would have been tempted to give in. And having heard the first part of the dream, you might have thought, well, let's just give in now, because these nations are going to come along. It's just going to get worse and worse. Why on earth would you carry on? Why would you carry on as a Christian at school? Why carry on? Why keep going? Well, now we get to the good news. And the good news is that Jesus is the ultimate king of the ultimate kingdom. This is the big news. This is the great news that you get in this chapter. Jesus is the ultimate king of the ultimate kingdom. But we need to see, what kind of kingdom is this? You see, what happens in the dream? You've got these beasts, and you can imagine them roaming around, can't you? You've got the lion and the bear with the rack of ribs and the leopard and this weird iron teeth monster over there. And they're roaming around. And then what happens? It's like it says at the beginning of those verses, you've got thrones set in place. They are put in place. And you've got the thrones, and then the Ancient of Days sits down. Who is the Ancient of Days? Well, the Ancient of Days is God. Now, that's not saying Ancient of Days, elderly, you know, not able to do very much. That's Ancient of Days, wisdom. Age there, it was a good thing. I mean, it's a good thing. Back then, you know, it was respected to have age. And so the Ancient of Days sits. Can you imagine that? I mean, it doesn't have to go and tame these beasts. He just sits. And the court is set. And the books are opened. That's the image. And it says there is a kingdom. There is a greater kingdom. A greater kingdom than any of these beasts. But what kind of kingdom is it? We need to have a look. You need to open up your Bibles again and have a look at what was just read. What kind of kingdom are we talking about here? So page 892. Page 892. And to begin with, we're going to look at how is the Ancient of Days described, because every part of the description is significant. Okay, first off, what are his clothes described as? Could you have a look and tell me, what are his clothes described as? I'm going to go not for children this time, I'm going for adults. But children, have a look. Have a look. What's the answer? What's the answer? Adults, what's the answer? What are the clothes described as? Thank you, Joanne.
White as snow.
White as snow. That's an interesting description. Why are his clothes white as snow? It's because it's a symbol of purity. Absolute purity. You know, freshly fallen snow when you look at... Not muddy, sludgy stuff by the side of the road when it's all gone on mucky. But freshly fallen. As you look out your window and it is just pure white. That is what his clothes are like. And that's saying God is pure. Not like the beast, where they're impure and they're just devouring and they're horrible. God is absolutely pure. Next thing, his hair. What style has he gone for? No, not what style. What does his hair look like? How is it described? Okay, we'll go for children on this one. Have you had a look? Do you know what it is? No. Ella?
White like wool.
White like wool. Now, that's a good thing. Again, I don't know whether you know, if you happen to have white hair, whether you like the fact you've got white hair. Actually, then, it was a great thing. This is a great description because actually it's saying age equals wisdom there. It doesn't always equal wisdom, but age equals wisdom for God. White hair is one of wisdom. So you've got perfect wisdom. He knows everything, and he's perfectly pure. Next thing, how is his throne described? Now, personally, I wouldn't want to sit on this throne. Looks painful to me. Would you want to sit on it? Can I go to the back? Okay. Have you got it? Do you want to do it? Yeah? You going to sing?
Flame with fire.
fire. It's a throne of fire. I mean, that sounds like you're going to get a hot bottom if you sit on that, doesn't it? But it's a throne of fire, and actually fire comes up more, doesn't it? His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels, you've got wheels on this throne, were ablaze. A river of fire was flowing out from before him. Now, what an image. This throne, this dream of this throne that's flaming with flames pouring out of it. That is a picture of judgment. And yet, you know that the one on the throne should be the judge because he's got wisdom and he's pure, he's absolutely perfect. This is God. This is the Ancient of Days. And then a few verses later, another figure comes along called the Son of Man. Now, this Son of Man figure in this dream sort of looks a bit God-like in that he's coming on a cloud. Now, that's something that God sort of does in the Bible. But he's also very human-looking, because he's a son of man. And what's he given? What's this Son of Man figure given? He's given something amazing. What is he given? Verse 13 and 14. What's he given? Verse 14. Go around. Children, have a look. What's he given? What's the Son of Man given? Okay, I'm going to go for Robin on this one.
Authority, glory, and sovereign power.
Now, that's an incredible thing to be given, isn't it? The Ancient of Days, God, gives to this very God-like human figure all, what was it? Authority, glory, sovereign power. And everyone worships him. Now, that should only be done to God. But this Son of Man figure is given the kingdom. He reigns over this kingdom. Now tell me more about what the kingdom is like. Have a look. See what it says in verse 14. The second half of verse 14. What's this kingdom like? Tell me more about the kingdom. How is the kingdom described? Second half of verse 14. Oh, hang on. We're just getting it shouted out. Brilliant. Yeah. Everlasting. It's going to go on forever and ever and ever. Now, that is the kingdom that you really want. It is a kingdom of purity, so nothing bad. It is a kingdom which is characterized by great wisdom, by justice, and it lasts forever, and Jesus is the king over it all. How do we know it's Jesus? Because when Jesus was walking around on earth, how did he refer to himself? What did he keep on referring to himself as? As the Son of Man, which refers back to this Daniel passage. He's saying, I am the Son of Man. I am the king whose kingdom will never end, will be perfectly just and pure and perfect, and is the kingdom you really want. You may have heard in the news that some Muslims have been saying, actually, they're wanting to build a kingdom. They're wanting to create a kingdom. And if you've seen on one of the maps, Yvonne very kindly, at the Prayer Focus, showed us a map that was in the newspaper of this kingdom that they're wanting to create. It's a frightening thing because they're wanting to say, actually, we want to take these places by force and we want to turn them into Islamic sort of states. God's kingdom is not like that. How do we know it's not like that? Because when Jesus was walking around on earth, some of his followers at one point said, should we pour down fire on people who are against us? And Jesus said no. And what did Jesus do? Did he destroy the Romans? Did he take over in power like that? No, he went to die on a cross. You see, Jesus' kingdom is one of justice and love. And you see that at the cross. And it needs to be. Because if you or I, can you imagine in this dream, you've got this throne there. And the Ancient of Days sat on it. Imagine you or I had to come before the throne. And the books were opened and our names are read out and our deeds are read out. How would we feel before the Ancient of Days? Well, the Bible says actually we should be frightened of that. Because that's a scary thought. Because we've all done bad things. We've all done wrong things. We've sinned. And yet when Jesus came as the Son of Man, walking around on earth, he said he'd come to die for us. And he died on the cross to deal with our sins so that we can approach God without fear. A wonderful kingdom that he has come to create. But he will one day come back as judge. There was an incredible moment as Jesus was on trial. Jesus was standing on trial. And The high priest, the chief priests were against him, and they were trying to find a way to have a go at him, to have him crucified. And there's an incredible moment in Mark. Let me find it for you. So as Jesus is on trial, there's an incredible moment. It says this. The high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am," said Jesus, "and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Can you imagine? There's Jesus on trial for his life, and he is saying, "You're going to see the Son of Man coming. It's me." Now, he doesn't say it's me at that point, but that's what he's meaning. In other words, he's saying, "I am the King of the ultimate kingdom. You may be judging me now, but I will one day judge you." And Jesus will come back. And he will be the judge. And therefore we need to have accepted his forgiveness, the forgiveness that he brings by dying for us. You see, Jesus' kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And the incredible thing in Daniel chapter 7 is not just that you become a part of this kingdom. Have a look again at Daniel chapter 7 and see what it says in verse 27. It's an incredible statement. I can't even find Daniel at the moment. Verse 27 says, "Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him." Now, do you see that? Who's given the kingdom there in that verse? It's God's people. You will have the kingdom. It will be yours, given by God to you, if you've trusted in Christ. Christian, today, you can know you're going to inherit the kingdom, a kingdom that will last forever. Now, do you see how that kingdom compares to the beasts? Now, the beasts, what happened to the beasts? What happened to them in the verses? Well, one beast gets destroyed and the others get tamed. It's like the Ancient of Days says, "You need to be put down, and you three, sit." And they do. You see, this kingdom that God has is far greater, far bigger than all the other kingdoms on earth. It's bigger than your school, bigger than your friends, bigger than England, bigger than Rwanda, bigger than the Ukraine, bigger than any company, bigger than any kingdom, any power that there is. It's the kingdom of God, and it will last forever. Therefore, keep standing up for Christ. Day by day, this week, in the little moments. When you think, "Oh, it doesn't really matter. Does it really matter whether I stand up for Christ or not in this moment?" Stand up for Christ. Keep going at it. Because you're part of the everlasting kingdom. So keep at it. And if you're not a Christian, can I urge you, please, to find out about this kingdom. To find out about the King, Jesus. And to find out what his kingdom is really about. Because many people think they know what Christianity is about, but they haven't actually looked at Jesus. I'm going to pray for us. Heavenly Father, please help us to keep going, standing up for Christ, living for Christ day by day, knowing that we are part of the eternal kingdom that Jesus established, an eternal kingdom of justice and love. And thank you that we can be a part of it, not because of anything good about us, but because of what Jesus has done for us in dying for us. Thank you that one day he will return and to reign in glory. Father, please help us to look forward to that day, and therefore in the light of that day to live for him this week. Amen. Andy.